doesn't love a great story, especially when it's true? Browse through any bookstore online or your local library and you're going to find hundreds of stories about great people or people who did great things. And even not so great people who were notorious and impacted history. Welcome to Through the Bible. We're diving into a new study now in the book of Daniel. I'm Steve Schwetz, and if you've been with us on the Bible Bus for a while, you know that the first half of the book of Daniel is all about Daniel the person. And we'll look at some of the character-defining situations that he found himself in and how God used those circumstances to grow Daniel's faith as a young man. Daniel's story took place about 600 B.C., and that's more than 2,500 years ago. But we'll see that people really haven't changed all that much, nor have the tests of faith become any easier. So as you find your place to begin this fascinating story, my friend and Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, and I want to update you on some of the great stories of God's people today. And they may not be as you would expect them to be.
That's right, Steve. And we're going to talk about people from ordinary places, because sometimes we can, you know, we can put so much emphasis on the pastors and the evangelists and the, you know, people doing wonderful things for God that, you know, most Christians, we live pretty ordinary lives. So yep. We want to highlight some of those from around the world.
This first one is from a Tamil Bible Bus listener. That's in India, for
That's
those
right.
of you who don't know. I've noticed changes in myself since I listened to your messages in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. Since then, I've reflected on how love influences a person's behavior and actions. I realized that I have made mistakes in the way I have treated others. I have spoken against others without showing love, and this teaching made me realize that I should stop that. I felt that if I truly had the love of God, I would not act in this way. I learned that God is loving and wants me to be loving as well. The message also touched on the topic of tithing, and it made me reconsider my approach to giving. Thank you for your inspiring words, which have positively impacted my life. I look forward to more messages that can bring about positive changes. May God always bless you. I pray for your ministry and the work that you are doing. I thank God for encouraging me with these messages, and I thank you as well.
Fantastic. Let's now go to the Pashto Bible Bus. This person lives in Pakistan. We used to attend a home church, and by the grace of God, I was able to introduce my family to Jesus Christ and preach the Word of God to them. They also became believers. Later, we moved to Pakistan, and with God's help, I was able to find fellow believers and worship with them. This is a miracle indeed. I have made friends here and introduced them to Jesus as well, and they too were able to be baptized. Another miracle. This is the description of my testimony, miracle upon miracle. I hope that in the near future, many people in Pakistan will come to believe in this truth, and may God touch their hearts so that they may believe. I am receiving spiritual teachings through your programs. Blessings to you all who invest the Bible in others.
And I hope you didn't miss the fact that this letter came out of Pakistan. I mean, this is someone that was in a home church that got saved,
yeah.
is witnessing to their family, and they're doing it in a very difficult place, and God is blessing it. Greg,
we're always leaving more on the table.
Yeah, we're out of time. So why don't you pray for us as we are continuing our study in the book of Daniel?
Father, thank you for these insights that you give us into the way your word is penetrating all the far corners of the world and the deep corners of the human heart. We thank you, Lord, that we can entrust your word and the power of the Holy Spirit to break through cultural language barriers, persecution, and help people walk their ordinary life before you and to please you in the way they do it. We ask that you do that in our lives as well today as we study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Here's our study in Daniel 1 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we're back in this very wonderful book of Daniel. And he was the man that went out with the first deportation. Nebuchadnezzar came about 606 and led the captives away about 604 B.C., and that was about the beginning of the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we'll see that that went on, and in the 21st verse of the first chapter, we read, "And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus," and that, by the way, moves us up to the completion of the 70 years. We'll have more to say about that when we come to that particular chapter. Now, last time we saw that it was during the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, that Nebuchadnezzar came and took them captive. And in verse 2, and I'm reading now, "And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God." Now, another part of them were taken when he came again, the second time, as we saw last time, that he came again in 598 when Jehoiachin rebelled. Now we find here that he took part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Now they were put there, and keep that in mind, because a king that's coming along, probably a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, will bring them out for his banquet. Now, verse 3, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes." Now, this man, Nebuchadnezzar, he took the cream of the crop of all of the captives that he took of any nation. And we find here that Daniel was included. I think they were given tests. I think they wanted to determine their IQ. And these men were to be trained to be wise men for the king of Babylon, to advise him. And you'll find out that he did refer to him. Now, if you would drop down, you would find that in verse 9 here, and will you notice it, it says, "Now God had brought Daniel into favor and compassion with the prince of the eunuchs." Now, I wonder if that's telling you anything yet. Well, let me give you Isaiah 39:7. "And of the sons that shall issue from thee," God is speaking to the king at that time, at the time of the captivity, "and of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Now, does that tell you anything? Daniel was taken away when he was about 17 years of age. That is, I think, agreed upon by most conservative scholars. And he was made a eunuch. So you can understand why Daniel did not marry, did not have children. A great many raised that question about Daniel. What kind of an oddball is he? Well, he actually was no oddball. This was something that the king did. And it did not destroy the development mentally of these individuals. Actually, it made them more docile to the king, and also it enabled them to give all their time to the studies that were given to them. You know anything about colleges, and I'm sure that that was true in your day. It was in mine. I spent half of my time taking what was known as a campus course, that is dating. And I wasted a lot of good time. Somebody said to me, "My, you must have really studied when you were in college." Well, I did. I did a lot of studying, but I could have done lots more. You see, the king, he wants these boys to spend their time studying. And he had a way of doing it. They're made eunuchs here. And Daniel is in that group. Now, verse 4, "Youths in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and gifted in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Now, I want to submit to you that the Bible was not written by a bunch of ninnies. It wasn't written by men who were ignorant. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. And my friend, they were very far along. They knew the distance to the sun. They knew the earth was round. It was a few of the Greeks that came along later and flattened out the earth, and they were scientists of that day, you see. Science is what taught the earth was flat. Bible never did teach the earth was flat. And in fact, it said it was a circle. And the very interesting thing is you come to this man, Daniel, here. Daniel was a young man, and they must have given all these fellas an IQ test, and Daniel rated pretty high. He was up at the top of the list. He was outstanding, you see. And by the way, Paul was up in that bracket also. I get wearied of some of these so-called eggheads today acting as if the Bible is a book written by a group of ignoramuses. If you feel that way about it, I say it to you very candidly, you are an ignoramus, because any study of the Word of God will reveal this man Daniel is nobody's fool. He's a brilliant young man. Now he's going to be taught as few men have been taught. He's going to be exposed to the learning of that day. And don't despise the learning of that day. Many men were well advanced in knowledge and actually in science and in many areas today. And I think Daniel could be put into that class. Now, will you notice something else that took place? And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's food and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of them they might stand before the king. Now, I've read you here the change that the New Scofield Bible has made here in our authorized version, and they've changed this word that was translated meat to food, and that's all right. And actually, we find that this was the diet of the pagan and the heathen over there, and it would include, of course, unclean animals. And you must remember, Daniel was a Jew. He was under the Mosaic law, and they were told not to eat certain meats and certain fowl, certain fish. Now, I read in verse 6, now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, under whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. You notice now that he actually changes their names, their Hebrew names, and they're given pagan names, heathen names. He gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means the same thing as Belshazzar, and it meant a worshiper of Baal, a heathen god. And he named Hananiah Shadrach, and Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. Now, we're acquainted with those names, and by the way, the names we're acquainted with are heathen names. And I think these four boys registered the highest IQ of any of them. You see, Babylon wanted the best brains in that day, as well as physical, a good physical specimen. Now we are told here that there was given to them, appointed a daily provision of the king. And now let me read verse 6. Now we come to the decision of Daniel as one of the captives to be true to God. Now among these were the children of Judah. We've been over that. Now, there were four young men from Judah that are identified to us, and the reason is that they were taking a stand for God. Now, if these other boys were about the age of Daniel, I would say that they probably were around 17 years of age. Now, Dr. Gabelein, who was a very able expositor of the Old Testament, especially the prophetic books, he feels he was about 14. I would suggest that if we come up with the date here or the age of 17, that would be probably the correct answer. And frankly, it was Sir Robert Anderson that gave him the age of about 20, maybe 21 or 22, so that 17 would be a good conservative estimate of the age of these men. Now, will you listen to the stand that Daniel is taking? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's food, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, this boy, he takes a real stand for God, you see. And the very interesting thing is here is he takes this stand for God in a heathen court. Under normal circumstances, it would have been fatal. Obviously, Daniel was not trying to win a popularity contest. And he wasn't attempting to please Nebuchadnezzar. Now, his decision did not reflect the modern softness of compromise that's all about us today. His decision was not dictated by the false philosophy of the power of positive thinking or how to win friends and influence people. Daniel knew nothing of the opportunist policy when in Babylon, do as the Babylonians do. You see, Daniel was not conformed to this world, but he was transformed by the renewing of his mind, and the will of God was the all-absorbing purpose of his life. Now, Daniel and his friend represent that Jewish remnant which God has in all ages, and this is the remnant of which Paul spoke in Romans 11:5, when he said, even so then at this present time also, there's a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, these boys say that they don't want to eat the king's food. Well, what in the world are they going to eat, you see? That's going to be a pretty big question now. And so, let's just read on here. And as we do, I think that we'll find out that these young men are going to rebel against a Babylonian diet. You see, they were even to be brainwashed to the extent they're going to be made Babylonians from skin inward and from the skin outward. They were not only to dress like Babylonians, and they were to think like Babylonians. And this man, Daniel, and his friends, fact of the matter is, God made it very clear to his people in the Old Testament. Now, today, we're under the age of grace. We're not under this Mosaic system of diet, but Daniel was under it. And in Leviticus 11:44-47, let me read you this. He says, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves. Ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall ye defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the beasts, and of the fowl, and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, and between the beasts that may be eaten and the beasts that may not be eaten. Now, certain meats were specifically forbidden, and I'm not going back and pick up that list, but you'll find it in Leviticus. And also meats were offered to the heathen idols, which was repulsive to the godly Israelite. And these Hebrew children, Daniel could have been a Nazarite to whom wine was forbidden, because in Numbers 6:3, the Nazarite, he shall separate himself from wine and strong drink, shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, or eat moist grapes, or dried. And now, they were following, therefore, the injunction that had been given to them. And Isaiah put down in Isaiah 52:11, depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing, go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. Now, believers today, we just haven't been given a diet chart or a menu. We are told, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:25-27, what's sold in the shambles, that is out yonder in the meat market, that eat, asking no question for conscience sake, For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. If any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and ye be disposed to go, whatsoever set before you eat, asking no question for conscience sake. And then again Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8:8, but meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Now, notice that these men are taking a stand under the Mosaic law, which they were under, which means they're taking a stand for God. Verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Now you see, Daniel is already a favorite, and that's no accident. God was working in his behalf even as he'd worked in the life of Joseph down in the land of Egypt. Verse 10, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me in danger my head to the king. You see, the prince of eunuchs, he didn't want to force the diet on them, but you see, he's on a hot seat. He's caught between a rock and a hard place. What's he going to do? Because he likes Daniel. Now listen to Daniel, verse 11. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, let me give that to you as we have it here in the New Scofield Bible. Test thy servants. This is verse 12 of chapter 1. I beseech thee 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And believe me, I want to say to you, I recommend this New Scofield Bible. I just wish the things were in the same slot they were in my old Scofield. It's a little difficult for me to find my way around here. But I don't like several of the translation. Vegetables. I don't think that is exactly it. Actually, it was a grain that they were to eat. And actually, the grain was the same thing that we have today in rolled oats, or we have it today in post-toasties, grape nuts. Well, to tell the truth, what Daniel is really saying, he says, let us have our Wheaties, and in a few days we'll show you that we're all right, that we are in just as good physical condition as the others are. I think that's much better translation. He's not asking to be made a vegetarian. He wants his Wheaties, friends. And I think that's a much better translation. But that's mine. You don't have to accept it, of course. Well, may I say that as we come down here now, verse 13, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the youths that eat of the portion of the king's food, and as thou seest, deal with thy servant. In other words, test us out and put us on this diet a few days and see if we are not just about as good physical condition as the other fellows are. Well, the very interesting thing is that God brought favor to Daniel from this Melzar, the chief of the eunuchs, had charge of him. And so the test is going to be made. And we're going to have to see the result of that next time. And I know you can't wait to see how this is going to work out. Well, until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Well, Dr. McGee left us on a bit of a cliffhanger, but you don't have to wait to find out what happened to Daniel and his friends. Go ahead and read on for yourself. And the best way to do that is with our app. Just go online to Through the Bible, one of your app stores, Apple or Google, download that and read it for yourself or have it read to you, and then listen to the study again if you want. Now, Dr. McGee will finish the rest of Daniel chapter 1 in our next study, and you'll be extra prepared to receive the lesson if you've already read it on your own. Do this every day if you'd like. Now, on our website, you're going to find a downloadable bookmark that outlines each day's scripture reading. To get yours, you can visit ttb.org or call 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll put one in the mail to you along with our terrific ministry newsletter. And you can sign up to get that every month so you don't have to make that phone call every month. But if you want to call us, feel free. Again, that number is 1-800-65-BIBLE. You can also email us at biblebus@ttb.org. So, will Daniel's Wheaties really pay off? Does Daniel find favor with God and man? Well, we'll find out next time. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here saving a seat just for you.
Jesus made it home, all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Through the Bible exists to take God's whole word to the whole world. And we invite you to stand with us with your faithful prayer and financial support. Where will God's word go today?